when Manasseh, who was Hezekiah's son, took over, when he took over the throne, he was also a horrible father, and he ended up sacrificing his son in the fire, and it was an offering to a pagan god. So Michael Brown said, what one generation allows, the next generation will embrace. And this is important because he also brought up this too. He said, look, some of us might not even care about Gen Z because we have kids that are Gen Alpha, right? But what one generation allows, next generation will embrace, right? So he asked, who is Gen Alpha going to look up to when they grow up? It's Gen Z. So we can't skip a whole generation and think the generation after them will be okay. There's a ripple effect. So a good parent cares about his children, right? I hope you all agree with me. A good parent cares about his children. But Proverbs says this, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. So it's not just his children, but his children's children. I found this interesting because King Hezekiah, he was familiar with this verse. The book of Proverbs was circulating during his time. As a matter of fact, what does Proverbs 25:1 say? It says, these two are Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of King Hezekiah of Judah copied. So Hezekiah had his men compile and transcribe the book of Proverbs. Because he's thinking, oh, this is good stuff. Gold nugget, yes. A good man leaves inheritance for his children's children, not just only for his children. Oh, the irony, right? Hezekiah ordered his men to do that. This left me scratching my head. It's like a do as I say, not as I do kind of thing. But I bring up Proverbs 13 because this is the heart of God. God's love overflows and desires to bless all the generations, 1,000 generations. And as a follower of Christ, I feel convicted that it's not just about my blessings, my nuclear family, my kingdom, but it's about the bigger picture, which is the kingdom of God. It's about living for Jesus. Amen? Yeah. So today we will talk about living for Jesus in a secular world. How to live in a secular world that is toxic to our faith. How do we do that? So, going back to Daniel, okay? Daniel, what happened? By the time we read Daniel 1, chapter 1, Isaiah's prophecy comes true. Okay, about 100 years later, right? And many of the Israelites are taken captive. I'll just wait. Okay. So they're taken captive by Babylon. And Daniel and his friends were one of them. Okay. Daniel lived during the last days of the southern kingdom. And he was one of the first to get deported to Babylon from Jerusalem to serve in the Babylonian court for the Babylonian king, King Nebuchadnezzar. And this is my first point. They all start with A, by the way. First point is this. Allegiance to God. Allegiance to God. Right? Daniel grew up in a hostile environment. But his loyalty was with God. Verse 1:8 says, Daniel was determined. He made it up in his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with wine that he drank. So he was determined. He made up his mind, even though he faced opposition and his life was at risk. What happened to Daniel? He was thrown into a fiery furnace. Survived because God protected him. He was forbidden to pray to God for 30 days. But what did he do? He was a rebel. Rebel for rebel with a cause, rebel for God, right? He opened his windows, okay? And he prayed so that the people who were plotting against him could see. And that got him into trouble. So he got thrown into the lion's den. He survived because God was with him. But he was a rebel, rebel for God. Daniel's loyalty lies with God. He knew that no matter what happens, that God was in control. How do we know that? Because Daniel verse, he's the one who wrote this. Daniel 1:1 says that King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem and they sieged to it. But even though this happened, his trust in God didn't waver. Because it says here, the Lord handed the king of Judah over to the king, Babylonian king. It was the Lord who did it. It wasn't the Babylonian king. This means that God is sovereign, that he is in control. And another thing, if you move on to verse 2, it says that King Nebuchadnezzar took the treasures from the house of God over to his treasury of his God. Now, I'm sure Daniel was familiar with Isaiah's prophecy, right? That one day they're going to take everything from you. And that's exactly what happened. So he's writing it down and he's probably thinking, yep, this was prophesied. Yep. And I'm living in it. This was written about 100 years ago. So it didn't come as a surprise to Daniel. It's like God is in control no matter what. This doesn't mean that it was easy for Daniel. But it was hard. Things changed drastically. He got deported from Jerusalem to Babylon. What happened when he got deported? How is it different? Different culture too. In Jerusalem, it was mono-religious. In Babylon, it's pluralistic. In Jerusalem, it was homogenous. In Babylon, it's diverse. In Jerusalem, it's slower paced. In Babylon, it's accelerated. In Jerusalem, it was sweet and simple. In Babylon, it's complex and bittersweet. So Daniel and his friends, they had to adapt. And this passage is very relevant today because we too are in something like Babylon. Exile. Not exactly like the days of Daniel because we're not risking our lives to follow Jesus. At least not here. Not now. But we are living in a troubled world in which it is toxic. Toxic to our faith. Our world is constantly changing. How many of you feel that over the last couple of years that our society has changed? Raise your hand. It's like, drastically. It's like, it feels so strange, right? It's like, is this the world that I'm living in? The way we view ourselves, our gender norms have changed drastically. There are more negativity towards Christianity these days now. But this here, it's Babylon, but it's not just Babylon. It's digital Babylon too, you guys. Let me explain. And this is especially for Gen Zs and Gen Y, like the millennials, okay? Because we live in a pluralistic society, and it's very diverse. So in some ways, I think this is awesome, because it wasn't as diverse when I was a teenager. Okay. A couple days ago, I was just at Starbucks, and I saw a flyer on the wall. And it said, interested in K-pop dance? Would you like to live your K-pop idol fantasy? From fire stage fits to performing in front of an audience? It says, you can email this person, contact them. This is for high school, so I can't do it. But I'm so jealous because it's so diverse and you're embracing like K-pop. Because when I was growing up in high school, I listened to K-pop in secret because I was ashamed, right? But even with this diversity, it's not all accepting because of cancel culture. You can easily get canceled because of your faith. And there's this lack of structure and meaning in our world. Because our world is fast-paced because of technology and information. So we get them at a much faster pace, and the pace of life is also much faster. But this is, it makes it easier for us to be self-reliant. We can look for entertainment, counseling, and instructions using our phones, okay? And for younger people, they would rather look up things on Google or talk to their peers or listen to an influencer rather than have an awkward conversation with their parents and other adults about sex and other interesting topics. So our youth students, this is the world that they're living in. There's a lot of uncertainties with them. Uncertainties about the world, their future, climate change, world politics, etc., etc. Some are afraid to come out because of COVID or leave their home because of mass shooting. They hear about it. And starting from a young age, like grade school, like my kids are taught to learn how to take cover in case there's a shooter in their school. So this is something that, yeah, they should know, but it indirectly sends a message to the kid that adults cannot protect them. There are uncertainties in their personal lives and relationships because of what they see on social media. I was talking to Alex about this too. He said, yeah, a lot of uncertainties. He said you would see people on social media, like a person, he said, I'm allowed to bring up his name, so it's okay. He said that, you know, a person would help pay for rent, and then that person would run off, right? Or there's expectations. If a boyfriend gets something nice for his girlfriend and it's on social media, then a girl would watch this and expect her boyfriend to do the same thing. So there's a lot of expectations too. There's also FOMO because of what they're seeing, fear of missing out. And that's one of the idolatry in Babylon too. And they see all kinds of toxic relationships. They're exposed to that. And there's a lot of information and many different opinions out there. Nowadays, institutions and traditions that gave structure and meaning to our lives and history, whenever we're connected, like history, that it gave us connection to the past. These are critically viewed with skepticism. It's like, who do I believe? Or what do I believe in a diverse and pluralistic society where I see all kinds of like toxic relationships? Where's the hope? There's people of authority that are viewed with suspicion as well. You hear on social media about important figures and influencers are getting exposed, and because of that, there's lack of trust. There's a lack of trust and a lack of purpose too. Amen. Because if there's no tradition, no institution, like if you break away from that, where do you find your meaning? You end up lost. You end up becoming lost. But I want to say our hope is in God. Amen. Daniel knew that God was in control in the midst of all of this. Can you see that God is sovereign? Can you see? Can you look at the prophecies and see that God is not only in control, but He is faithful? Look at the story of Joseph in Genesis. I know many of you are familiar with this story. He was sold into slavery by his jealous brothers, but God redeemed him and he became Pharaoh's right-hand man. And he was able to forgive his brothers when he could have taken revenge on them. He was able to forgive them because he said this. He said, "What you intended for evil, God turned it around for good." So we see this even when we look at the life of Jesus too. His own people turned against him and nailed him to the cross. It seemed as if evil won. Sin and death, it seemed like that. Sin and death won. When Jesus died on the cross. But on the third day, he rose again. Rose from the grave. And God used that to pay for the sins of this world, to save us. So what was intended for evil, God turned it around for good. So God is in control. Even though we are in Babylon, or digital Babylon. And I want to encourage you with that, that there's hope. But God wants our allegiance. Okay? He wants our allegiance. And if we want to reach out to the next generation, they need to see our allegiance to God. Okay? We can no longer try to have the best of both worlds. Alright? Must be devoted. Because Gen Z and the younger generation, Gen Alpha, they're all looking at us. Right? Like, who do I trust? There's this lack of trust and a lot of uncertainties. Because they hear about all these things going on. Historic figures with moral failures. They're looking at us. And they can see right through us. The next gen is suspicious. And they need to see people who are all in for Jesus. I want to be all in for Jesus because God is trustworthy. He is worthy of it all, like the song that we sang. You are worthy of it all. Yes. Worthy of all of our worship.
Yes.
He is faithful and He is in control. No matter what. Despite what's going on in this world. No matter what we hear, doesn't matter. God is in control. And Daniel believed that too. And he saw the prophecy being fulfilled. And we could see even further back, right? Or further down, the future. The prophecy, more prophecy being fulfilled, right? Yeah. So, allegiance to God. That's the first point. To the next generation, I want to say that God is trustworthy. You have every right to be critical and suspicious. You do. But I want you to keep your eyes on Jesus. Look at his life and reflect on it. You will see that Jesus is trustworthy. And I pray that you will see more and more the beauty of Jesus and that will draw you in. And as you see more of Christ, I pray that you'll be more and more just aware of your surroundings too. Look to Jesus. The beauty of Christ in the midst of toxicity. The next point is this, awareness. So, allegiance to God. Second is awareness. Daniel and his friends of noble birth, handsome, it said handsome in the NIV translation too, and intelligent. They became eunuchs in a foreign land. But they trained them up in the Babylonian way to get them assimilated into the Babylonian culture. And this was a way to have sovereign nation take control of the nations that are under them. And they gave him new names too. It says that Daniel means God is my judge. He was given a Babylonian name, Belshazzar, which means Baal will protect their god. The Babylonian gods. Hananiah means Yahweh has been gracious. Has been changed to Shadrach, which means inspired of Aku, another Babylonian deity. Mishael means who is what God is, has been changed to Meshach, belonging to Aku. And Azariah, Yahweh has helped, has been changed to Abednego, servant of Nego. The names has been changed, names that praised Yahweh to those that praised the Babylonian gods. And this name change wasn't done just to give them Babylonian names. It was to change, to give them a new identity. And they were trained for 3 years using Babylonian curriculum. And they learned their culture and language. And during those years, Daniel and his friends decided not to eat the food that the Babylonian king offered. It's like, why? Big deal. What's the big deal about changing your name and eating the food that the king offers? What is the significance of this? Denying the food for the first 3 years. Was it because of their diet? Jews? Was it not kosher? Were they offering pork? But I don't know, because they were allowed to drink wine, but they refused to drink the wine there, right? Why did they only decide to eat vegetables? Is it because their food offered to idols? No, because everything was offered to idols, including the vegetables. So we don't know exactly why. But one thing I do know is that they were trying to make them into Babylonians and lose their identity. And Daniel was aware of that. He was aware of what they were trying to do. And this awareness I'm talking about is not just cultural awareness, but spiritual awareness. All right? This is spiritual warfare. What does Galatians 6 say? It says, put on the full armor of God, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, helmet of salvation. This is spiritual warfare. It's not just cultural. Romans 12:1-2 says, do not be conformed to the ways of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you will know what the will of God is. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Again, I was talking to Alex about this, right? And we're talking about gender norms. And to him, he said, you know, gender norms change? Yeah, it's drastic, but it's not that big of a change like it was to the older generation. And he gave a really good example. He said, pretend you have a cousin that you don't often see. And next time you see your cousin, you see drastic change in terms of growth because you haven't seen your cousin in such a long time. But let's say you see your cousin all the time, and you see your cousin grow little by little, and it doesn't feel like a big of a difference. He said it's like that with gender norms. I thought that was pretty interesting. Yeah. So, but this made me realize that we need to be more intentional with our kids. Like, we need to be more intentional, because in Babylon, it's not neutral. It's spiritual warfare. And they're already growing up in this. There is this foundation for faith. There's a lady named Elizabeth Urbanowicz. She's a teacher at a Christian private school. And she said she started this program so that we can teach our kids at home the scripture and teach them the truth. But she said the reason why I started this foundation was because I realized that even though these kids are going to private school, it's not enough. It's not enough. They need to learn these things at home too, inside their homes. And that's why she started it. So, we could say, it's just food, it's just name change, we're just learning a language here. But I want you to be spiritually aware and be prayerful. Keep that in mind, because it's not neutral. There are things that seem perfectly harmless, but it can affect your faith the way you think. Could we get the... Alright, so I'll give you an example. How many of you have seen this movie called Wish? Disney Wish, okay? Alright. I heard it flopped, but I have not seen it, but I've heard about it, and as YouTubers talk about it, alright? And if you haven't seen it, don't worry, I'm not gonna... I haven't seen it, I can't give it away, but I watched the trailer, okay? But I found out, I wanted to know what this movie was about, okay? So it's about, there's this, that guy right there on the screen. He's a narcissistic sorcerer named Magnifico, okay? Ooh, Magnifico. This is a Disney movie, okay? For kids. He controls all the wishes of the people, so the people are hoping someday, like, their wishes will be fulfilled. But the king, he believes that, you know, not everyone, or most people, shouldn't have their wishes granted. They don't deserve it. So the king believes that, and he plans on not granting their wishes. But there's this protagonist named Asha. She wishes on a star, and this little star comes and helps her, and then the star exposes, like, the evil nature of the king. So that's basically what it's about. And it's about freeing people's wishes. But there's a song in there, okay? It's a musical, right? Right? Musical? There's a song in there, okay? And it goes like this. The reason why we look up to the stars for answers to our wishes is because we're all made of stardust and nothing else. Yeah, that we're nothing. Nothing. That's it. And there's another song that says, isn't truth supposed to set you free? Well, why do I feel so weighed down by it? Alright? Magnifico can be seen as, like, God. And these wishes can be seen, like, it can be like a caricature of a prayer, right? And that this could discourage a child from praying. So I want you guys to be aware of what's going on. What's the message behind this? Whenever we watch or listen to something, like, just think about it. Because it's a spiritual warfare, and we're living in Babylon. And it's digital Babylon. Spiritual. What's out there? So be aware. Put on the full armor of God. Next thing. Next point is this. We await. Okay? Waiting on God. Why await and not wait? When you're waiting, you're passing time. But await is to anticipate. It's something going to happen. And when you're waiting on God, you're expecting God to move. Also, I have to go with await because all my points start with the letter A. Okay? But Daniel depended on the Lord, and he constantly went to God in prayer and awaited on him. God speaks to us to this day. God is alive, he is active. A lot of the students these days think that God is not alive. Or if he is, then he's not really active. That's deism. Deism, not theism. Like God is just looking around, not doing anything. Or many believe that God is not good. They might believe in the existence of God, but God is not really good. Alright? But I want to encourage you. God is good. We see that. We see Jesus giving up his life for us. He laid down his life for us. And he speaks to us. I want to read Joel 2:28-29. Joel 2:28-29, it says, after this, I will pour out my spirit on all humanity. Then your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will have dreams, and your young men will see visions. I will even pour out my spirit on the male and female slaves in those days. Amen? says, I will pour. This is a promise. Do you believe that? It's a promise from God that I will pour out my spirit. And it's not just talking about pouring out the spirit to the adults, but to the younger generation as well. And it says that your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your old men will have dreams fulfilled. So this includes all generation, okay? So it's not just about Gen Z. And we all need to stick together as a church and devote ourselves to God, who is good, who is faithful. And when we do, and when we wait on God, this is a promise that He will pour out His Spirit. And He speaks to us to this day, even in the midst of Babylon, where it's toxic. Amen. It's for everyone. God is alive and active to this day, and His prophecies have been fulfilled, and He is in control. Amen. Yes. So with that, let's go into communion. Okay. I know Pastor John brings a loaf, but I have this. But it's okay.